Hello and welcome back to Logically in Love. I am your host, Savannah Gamblin, and if you are a new listener, welcome to the family. I am so excited to have you here. I am a psychology student who just uses what I learned in school to implement it into everyday life situations and problems that go on through relationships with ourselves, family, friends, and our partners. And if you are a returning listener, hello again. I've been loving you guys and we just keep growing and growing and it's the best. So today we are going to talk about communication. Yes, that is right. Communication, people, because this is super requested and I sound like a YouTuber, like, this is my highly requested video. But it is. It's highly requested. A lot of people want to know how to communicate more effectively in a more healthier way, or just some tips and pointers on why they're bickering so much. So before we get started, I want to do a little breathing exercise with everybody. So close your eyes, unless you're driving, do not close your eyes while driving. But we are going to inhale all the good prana for 5 seconds. We're going to hold for 5 and we are going to exhale all that bullshit that does not matter for 5 seconds. All right, ready? Inhale for 5. Hold it for 5. And exhale the bullshit for 5. One more time. Inhale. Hold. And exhale. Perfect. Okay. See, doesn't it make you feel so much better once you have like a little breathing moment? It always makes me feel so much better and way more collected. Plus, when it comes to communication, we want to be collected, and it's really good to make sure we're not focusing on shit that doesn't matter, because oftentimes that's where bickering comes from. We just focus on things and we just have this like tunnel vision on it, and we're not even realizing like, wait, what the hell are we even talking about? So with communication, a lot of it comes from calmness. Another thing to say about communication before we jump in, communication isn't about words. I mean, it is. That sounds a little like backwards, but just work with me here. Communication isn't only about words. That's how I should say it. Because at the end of the day, if you say something perfectly worded, right, but you come into it with a bad attitude, or you're not trying to hear your partner's side of the story or anything, then it's like, who cares how perfect your script was? Because it doesn't matter. Communication comes down to relation. It matters how are we connecting with each other? How are we relating to one another and understanding where everybody's coming from and validating? So there's a lot more to communication than just words. And I want to really emphasize and stress that before we get started. Also, on that note, I was thinking, I was like, okay, everybody keeps requesting communication tips, and I could give you guys a good foolproof script. I could tell you the right things to say and what not to say, and yeah, it would help, but if you guys don't understand the foundation, then I'm wasting my time. So this is going to be part one of a communication series. I told you guys that there's just so much, so we're going to have to break it up into multiple episodes. So for this part one, we're going to cover the foundation, the basics of communication, and how to go into this with a very healthy aura, okay? So there are 5 basic foundation points that we're going to hit today. At the end, we're going to do an Ask Sav segment. Yay! I'm very excited about that. You guys have been sending in so many questions, and I'm finally able to incorporate those into the episode, so that way it's kind of interactive, and you guys get to be a part of the show in a sense. And that makes me really happy, because I think of you guys as like a fam. So let's just jump right in. The first rule that I have for everybody is going to be have a sense of self, okay? And you're probably thinking, okay, well, what does that have to do with communication? Everything. It has everything to do with communication. You have to have a very good sense of self, what is bothering you and why it is bothering you. And you want to be able to really pinpoint that. You don't really need to have the how, like how to fix it. You don't need to have a solution yet. You just need to understand what is bothering me and why is it bothering me? Because if you go into a conversation or and trying to communicate with your partner without those things, the conversation has already failed, right? So we need structure in order to get a structured result, right? Also, if you do not have your what and your why and understanding what's going on internally, then what happens is you go into this conversation with your partner and they have a counter, right? And then you guys just go back and forth and then you're bringing up things that happened in the past and then you're not even talking about the main point anymore. You lose focus of what your goal and intention for that conversation even was and why. Like we're not here to waste our time like that. So we want to make sure that we have a good sense of self so we don't have any of those distractions coming in and we're able to have structure. Which leads me to tip number two. Make sure that we are staying on topic, right? So when we get into arguments or conversations or any moment when we're trying to communicate with our partners about issues, right? What ends up happening for whatever reason is all the shit that has been going on throughout the entire relationship just kind of seems to unravel itself and somehow a fuck up from 2 months ago gets brought into the mix and it's like, okay, this isn't even what we're talking about. But for whatever reason, we feel the need to bring up things to even out the scoreboard. And it's like, that's not what this is about. So you want to make sure that we're staying on topic because it can turn into a colossal mess really freaking quick when you're adding five different issues into the same conversation. Like you can only solve one thing at a time. So let's take one thing at a time and the rest will put a pin in it. So that is what my advice to you is. If you're in an argument and for whatever reason your arguments seem to start on one topic and by the end of it, 3 hours later, you've been talking about 20 different things that have happened. Those aren't even important. Those are just you going back and forth and you're wasting each other's time. And they're probably not even that big of a deal, but you're treating it like a big deal so that you both have been in the wrong. And I just don't understand why we do that as humans, but I think it's an ego thing. So next time you go into a conversation and past issues starts to get brought up, don't dismiss it. Don't just brush it under the rug and be like, oh my God, that's not what we're talking about right now. Stay on topic. Like, don't be rude. But just tell them, hey, let's put a pin in this because clearly this is something that seems to be bothering you. But I would really like to address the first issue at hand first, and then we can get to that one. And then I can almost guarantee you when you're solving the first issue, the second one kind of just gets dissolved on its own because they're normally related. Now, examples are okay. Like me personally, I have to have examples. If someone comes to me with an issue and they're like, hey, oftentimes you respond in this way and it makes me upset, well, then I'm going to ask, well, what's an example? Because I need something to work with. I need material so that I can understand, okay, where was my mindset at that time that made me respond that way? And what was my side of that story so that I can understand how to relate to them better and we can have a better understanding on both sides, right? So I have to have examples if somebody tells me something I'm doing wrong. So of course, in that scenario, you're gonna have to dig into the past a little bit to come up with an example. That's fine. What's not okay is when we're getting off topic because we're trying to make a point and call each other hypocrites and just argue even more, okay? If you are bringing up something in the past, it should be serving the both of you towards finding a solution easier and faster, right? With staying on topic, next time just put a pin in it and do one thing at a time, okay? Moving on to the third rule. Disagreeing is okay, but dismissing is not. So what's the difference? Sometimes there's situations where I'm very stubborn and it's not even stubborn. Like if I feel that I'm in the wrong, I will absolutely address that I'm in the wrong. Okay. I'm not some egotistic bitch that just can't ever be wrong and everyone else just needs to deal with it. Like, no, I'm very understanding. If you tell me something that I did, I'm like, oh, I can understand. Yeah, maybe I could have done that a little bit different or I could have said that a little different, then of course I'm going to address that and acknowledge it. However, there are situations where people bring up to me how you responded was super like not okay and that was just so wrong of you. And because like I said a couple episodes back, I have a temper if I'm pushed there. I do. I have a controlled temper. That's the funny part. That's the paradox there. My temper is like, it pops off like a bomb, but I'm still in control of what I'm saying, and I still know how to be respectful. However, my face is definitely going to be red, I'm definitely going to be clenching my fists, and my voice is definitely 8 decibels louder than it should be. So that's my temper. However, I'm still keeping it under control, and I still know how to be respectful. But in these senses, sometimes people are upset about that. And if I feel that that was the right way for me to respond to what they did, if what they did was fucked up and I had a right to be angry, I'm not going to apologize for being angry. Now, what I will do is if it, whatever I said or how I delivered it made them feel in a negative way, like if they felt really dumb, if I made them feel like I thought they were stupid, or that I felt I was better than them, or whatever it may be, I will apologize for that. I will always apologize for how I've made somebody feel. So when it comes to disagreeing, not dismissing, it's okay to not agree. If you did something that you felt wasn't out of line, you don't have to apologize for that. And ladies and gentlemen, if your spouse doesn't apologize for something, that's okay. They don't have to always agree with you of what is right and wrong. Sometimes they're going to stand by their reaction, and that's okay. You can't control people's minds and feelings. You can only control your own. Now, if they made you feel shitty, let them know that, and they should respond in, oh, I'm really sorry that I made you feel that way. I will try better next time to not do that. So what I want you and your partner to do during a time you guys are just chilling on the couch, because you never want to do this during an argument. That's a big pointer. Whenever you guys are building a system, you never want to do that when emotions are high, right? Because then that's going to alter the agreement, and that's going to it just complicates things. So whenever you're having a serious conversation with your partner, make sure you're not doing it while you two are very emotional or angry or whatever it is, okay? So next time you guys are together and maybe you guys bring up the topic, you guys should sit down and just agree that it's okay if we don't always agree with each other and we don't always agree with how we do or say things, but we should always acknowledge and apologize for any harm that we cause, because that is where you're validating somebody. And validation in every relationship, friendship, even family, like people need to feel validated. If you're just like making them feel like anything they say or do is just like not correct, they're not going to want to be in that relationship with you. So I kind of wanted to touch, and this brings up the fourth main point that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to touch on how feelings can't be wrong, okay? I see this so often, and I hear this so often, and it's crazy to me how this is not, like, just common sense, but I get it. People aren't taught this, but at the same time, it's like, come on, it's such a simple rule, and it makes everything so much easier. Feelings can't be wrong. So if you came at me sideways and you made me feel like I was stupid, or you made me feel like you thought you were better than me, or I don't even know that, like, I don't know. You just make me feel some negative way and I tell you that, you don't get to come back at me and say, no, I didn't. I didn't make you feel that way. No, I didn't do that. Oh, okay. My upset just fluttered away out of my body. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that you didn't do that. I no longer feel stupid. Like, that's like telling somebody who has anxiety, like, oh, no, it's okay. Like, you don't need, like, don't have anxiety. oh, thank you. I just, oh, all of a sudden I don't have anxiety anymore. Thank you so much. Like, that's not how that works. So if somebody comes to you with a feeling, you don't get to tell them, no, you don't feel that way, or no, I didn't make you feel that way. Okay, that's just you being in denial, and that's not you taking any responsibility. And again, you're just dismissing your partner. So you're not going to get anywhere doing that. So I feel with those four tips, I have a final one, but I do kind of want to just reflect on the four that we just talked about. You want to make sure that you have a sense of self. What is your what and your why going into any conversation? With that, you want to also make sure you're staying on topic during your discussions, right? Because we're only going to handle one thing at a time. When you start throwing everything into the mix, it just turns into a boxing match and you lose sight of your goal, and it's just a waste of everyone's time. The third one, disagreeing is okay. It's okay to not have somebody agree with you. It's nothing on you. It's not personal. Everybody has their own point of views, but you want to make sure that you're not being dismissed, or you're not dismissing your partner. You want to acknowledge if you did something wrong or made them feel a certain way, acknowledge that. You don't have to apologize for your actions all the time. You should if you did something wrong and you know that you did something wrong. But if you truly feel you did nothing wrong, you don't have to apologize, but at least apologize for the negative results that it caused. The fourth one, which kind of blends with the third one, is feelings can't be wrong. So you always want to make sure that if you did cause any negative feelings towards your partner, or, you know, anything negative, essentially, you can't tell them, no, I didn't do that. If I feel a certain way, you don't get to tell me I don't feel that way. And if my feelings happen because of something you did, you don't get to tell me that's not what went down. There's two sides, okay? So you can't just dismiss and tell somebody they're wrong. I wanted to kind of like reflect on all four of those because they're very important when going into the fifth rule, which is listen to your partner to hear and understand their side and understand where they're coming from, not to form a counter. Okay? So what this means, when you and your partner start having a conversation and the conversation starts getting a little heated, and we go back to kind of that scoreboard situation I was talking about earlier. What happens, and I have definitely done this in the past, I don't do this anymore, thank God, because it always caused such bigger problems than there needed to be. But what would happen is I would be listening to whatever they said that was wrong, or that I had a really good point to argue back with a really good counter, right? And so then I hold on to that point so I don't forget mine, and now I'm no longer listening to anything after that, right? And that could have just been like a little teeny piece of their entire statement, and what they have to say could be really important and hold a lot of information on how to find a solution, but I'm not even listening to that because I'm so focused on being correct and I'm so focused on winning this argument, which I despise that. I hate hearing I win, or, you know, like, oh, you win every fight. Like, what? It's not a competition. How are you winning? I don't understand that. How is anyone winning and how is anyone losing? If you're going into an argument to win, that's just, it's going to crumble. Your relationship's going to crumble, point blank, period. I'm not going to go any more depth on that, because you should never be fighting to be right. You want to fight for a solution. And I brought this up in the last episode, because at the end of the day, what's more important to you? Do you care more about having a healthy, loving relationship with your partner? Or do you care more about when it comes down to the scoreboard, you have a higher score? Like, if that's where you're at mentally, you shouldn't be in a relationship, because a relationship is a partnership and partners don't go against each other. That's not how that works in any situation. Partners work together to face everything else. You're facing the world together. So if you guys are facing each other now, like, how do you expect that to be a healthy, stable relationship? It's just not. So when going into these conversations, try not to constantly be right and constantly listen for a counter. Just listen. Hear what they're saying. Understand, okay, I have a completely different perspective than you, and I see this in a completely different way, but that's the beautiful thing. And that's why we're having this conversation, so that you can understand their side, so that you guys can come together in the middle, right? I always tell everybody, there's three sides to every story. There's your side, their side, and what actually went down. Everyone perceives things differently. So you have to listen and understand, how did they perceive things, so that you can prevent that from happening again in the future, right? So with those five foundational tips, I'm probably going to have more foundation tips, but I do want to get moving towards actual nitty-gritty communication skills. But I feel like these are really, really important. And if you don't have at least these five, then your communication's just already crumbling, you know? So make sure the what, the why, you're staying on topic, you're not dismissing anybody for how they feel, and you're making sure you're validating everybody. Validation's very key and very important. And you also want to make sure that on top of validation, understanding and being able to relate to one another. Because that just... Oh, also, I didn't write this down in my show notes, but I do want to say this too. It's kind of just like a side note. Don't go into an argument, or not even an argument, a conversation with a negative attitude. If you're going to go into that conversation like, ugh, they're not even going to listen to me, okay, then they're not going to listen to you, okay? So if you're going into something to argue, then that's all that's going to happen. You're just going to argue. But if you go into something to have a talk, a calm, respectful, back and forth encounter, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to have way better solutions. So don't go into something with a negative mindset, because that's all you're going to get out of it. What you put out is what you get back, right? So with those five, I really hope those helped you. And now it is time for Ask Sav. Yay! I'm so excited about this. So I just have two today. I didn't want to like load a shit ton on you guys, and I wanted to keep this episode fairly short. So we're just going to do two questions. The first one is from Elizabeth. Elizabeth asked, I've been having a lot of anxiety around my relationship with my partner lately and whether he is best suited for me. He's amazing, so kind and patient and loving. He's been through a lot of ups and downs with me, and while there have been times he's gotten a bit frustrated, he's always been there holding my hand, supporting me through it all. My stumbling block is, I'm currently not feeling very fulfilled within us. I love romance and spontaneity. Wait. Spontaneity. Yeah, totally had to Google translate that. Not translate, but like, you know when you type it into Google and then they pronounce it for you? I absolutely just had to do that for that word. Hold on, side note, I'm going to get back to this question, but there was a time, can we just roast on me for 3 seconds? There was a day where I read the word bologna as bologna, and all my friends and family allowed me to go like a week pronouncing bologna as bologna, not understand. It is how it's spelled, you guys. It's so dumb. Another really dumb thing that I've done, one time at the gas station, I tried to check out at an ATM. That's real story. I can't make that shit up. But okay, back to the question. So, God, I hate myself. So she says, I love romance and spontaneous, okay? She wants spontaneous shit. I love the idea of little notes left or flowers or spontaneous weekend away together or even just a spontaneous date or adventure. Unfortunately, my boyfriend is not that way inclined. Is this something that can be learned or taught, or is it something that I need to either accept won't be a part of our relationship or just decide to move on? Okay. So I really like this question, because a lot of people have actually been submitting similar ones, and that's why I wanted to pick this one to respond to. So my advice for your situation, so your partner is not having, he's just not giving you a lot of spontaneous activities going on, and it's kind of just mellow yellow, and you're just not good with that. You want some fun, excitement, you want the spark. Totally get that. I'm the same way. If it gets boring, then I'm bored. And who wants to be bored in their relationship? No one. So in your situation, I think you should lead by example. What I mean by this, you should sit down with him, and I'm sure you've already talked about this with him. If you haven't, you definitely should, and here's how you're going to. You two should sit down and let him know, hey, having spontaneous trips or dates or just doing exciting things outside of the typical movie night in or going to dinner, like, that's just not enough for me. I want to do different things with you. So my advice to you is have him and you each make a list of 10 different date ideas, not the movies, not the basic shit like going to dinner, like fun, different date ideas that neither one of you have done together yet, okay? So you're going to have a list of 10, he's going to have a list of 10. And I don't know how often you guys like to go on dates. If it's every weekend, perfect. If it's once a month, perfect. Either one's fine, whatever works for you. But switch, take turns. And you each other are not going to show your lists. So you're going to pick something off of your list and you're going to plan that. And he's going to find out what it is day of. Then when it's his turn, he's going to plan the whole date and he's just going to let you know what to wear or what to pack or whatever it is. And you guys are going to go off and do that date. And so you're just going to take turns planning because you don't want to put all of the responsibility on him, but you also don't want to be the only one coming up with ideas either. So that's my advice to you. Split up the distribution of labor and just take turns planning each other's dates and let me know how that goes. So our next question is going to be for Jocelyn. Jocelyn. Okay, so she says, hi, I just wanted to say that I absolutely love your podcast. I think it will help my relationship a lot. I wanted to ask for some advice. My partner and I fight and bicker a lot, almost every day. I wanted to ask you specifically for some tips on how to resolve it from happening so much. We just have a lot of little arguments that seem pointless, but it just keeps happening. He has agreed that this is something we need to work on, so we are just trying to find ways on how to solve this problem. The first thing I want to say is I think it's awesome that you guys have already agreed and talked about this and both are on the same page that, yes, this is something you both want to work on. That's very important whenever there's any issue that needs to be solved, because I will religiously say this, it takes two to tango. You cannot solve a problem in your relationship all by yourself and neither can he. So I'm really glad that you guys are on the same page and that you've established there's an issue. When it comes to bickering, typically that is you two just focusing so much on each other instead of yourselves, right? So he says something and you're like, oh, that really got under my skin. So now you start going back at him and then he goes back at you. And it's like, you can't control how people think, speak, act, feel. You cannot control other people. You can only control yourself and how you respond. So with that in mind, we need to figure out, is whatever it is that he's doing, is that a silent annoyance or is it a real problem? And I mentioned this in a previous episode. You can tell which is which if it's something that is detrimental to your relationship. So specifically that thing, not the fact that he did something that pisses you off. Everyone's going to piss you off. Even strangers are going to piss you off. So that's not a good enough reason to fire back at them. Think of it that way too. Like, if strangers do shit that really bothers you, you don't go off on them because you know it's not worth it. So why are you choosing to go off on your partner if it's not worth it for the same thing, you know? So if it's a problem, that means it's something that's detrimental to your relationship. If it's not detrimental to your relationship, then that's just a silent annoyance. That means you're annoyed and you should keep it to yourself. It's kind of like picking your battles, you know? But on top of that, sometimes we just are having bad days and we can't really keep it together. I am definitely one that does this. I know how to pick my battles. I'm very good at it. But sometimes, whew, girl, I'm just having those days and I'm like, listen here, I will grab you by the throat and I will physically harm you. Like, do not fuck with me. Today is not the day. I am not that girl. So I totally get it. Sometimes we can't keep it to ourselves. So in this situation, I think, and I love doing this. This is so funny. And you guys are going to think this is stupid, but trust me, it works. I promise it works. Have a safe word. Not like a sexy time safe word. No, this is a I'm pissed off safe word, okay? Well, not even I'm pissed off. It's like, you're annoying. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to sit down and agree, okay, what's a word that I'm going to call you? And when I call you this word, you're not going to get upset. So you don't want it to be bitch. You don't want it to be asshole, okay? Because those are just rude. You want to come up with a word that's kind of funny, but also lets you get out aggression and a little frustration. And you want to pick a word that, and you can have different words too. You don't have to agree on the same one, but you can pick a word that you guys will understand. This is my way of letting you know you're being really annoying right now, but this isn't worth fighting about. So we're just gonna laugh it off. We're just gonna ignore it. So mine is dingleberry. Okay, I can't make that up. So here, let me give you an example so it doesn't sound so weird out of context. So let's say my partner, he is just being an asshole, right? He's just saying shit that's just really getting under my skin. My safe word is dingleberry. So I'm going to tell him, oh my God, you're being such a dingleberry. That lets him know you're being really annoying right now and you're getting under my skin. And then he can clap back at me with his safe word. And then we just laugh at it because they're ridiculous safe words. And when they're said to each other, it's like our way of saying, it's not worth it to me to fight with you. So I'm just going to call you a stupid name and move on. And for me anyways, this has always worked. I love laughing this shit off. Another really good tip that I want to give you guys is hug your partner. So this sounds a little weird. I understand. If your partner's annoying you, you're probably like, I don't want to touch them. But that's the point. You don't want to touch them, so give them a hug. What I mean, when you hug somebody, it is scientifically proven if you are holding somebody for 20 seconds or more, a hormone called oxytocin is released by the pituitary gland, okay? The hypothalamus produces this, and it's kind of like known as the feel-good hormone. And when you're hugging your partner, this hormone's released, and you both kind of have stress release. Like your stress just kind of, the tension goes away a little bit. Physically touching one another is one of the best things to do when having a serious conversation. And I make sure to do that all the time, even with friends. Like if I have a friend, I'll like touch them on the shoulder or on the back or something, because having that physical touch is just such a healthy way to connect with somebody. So let's say your partner does something that's just super annoying, or they said something that's just like, why do you have to be an idiot? Instead of responding with words, just walk up to them and give them a hug. They're gonna be like, what are you doing? But I don't care. Hug them and then let them know. Be like, just hug me back. And they'll hug you back. And I guarantee you, a lot of that tension's gonna go away. And if you really feel the need to say something, just be like, what you said got under my skin. And instead of responding, I'd rather just hug you because it's not worth fighting about. You know, physical touch in a relationship obviously is important, but sometimes when we're bickering back and forth, we're so focused on the words, we forget how to connect, you know? So connect with your partner before responding. That's a really great way to have like a cushion and a buffer so that you both can breathe and like understand, okay, what the fuck are we doing? This isn't worth it. We love each other, right? So I hope those tips helped. Thank you so much, Elizabeth and Jocelyn, for sending in questions. And if you guys want to send in any questions, just make sure to DM me on my Instagram, which is Gamblin Savannah. So all lowercase, Gamblin is just like gambling without the G, Savannah with two N's. So make sure to DM me your questions on there. I don't really check TikTok DMs too much because people be crazy on there, but... Another really great way to connect with me is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time, I go live on TikTok and answer any brief questions that you guys might have about the previous episode or just in general, and it's a lot of fun and I love chatting with you guys. Next week, we are going to cover jealousy and insecurities. Yes! So if you do have any questions that you want included in the episode, make sure to send them to me by Friday so that I can get that going. But yeah, I'm really excited to see you guys next week. Have a great rest of your day and stay logically in love. Bye, guys.